So I'm going to be talking about how to benchmark patient safety and quality in U.S. hospitals and some of the issues we currently have and this new approach that my colleague Richard Hoffler in the Department of Economics at the University of Central Florida and I have been exploring over the past couple years. I guess this first slide should mention it, but we were funded by the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality to do this exploratory research. And how do I advance the page down? Does it maybe here? There we go. And my disclosure is that I have no financial relationships with commercial interests relevant to this presentation. The outline for the talk is going to be the usual. So let's start with a little bit about the research rationale and the background for this. As many of you may know, we've been moving more and more towards pay-for-performance in the U.S., and we've also been attempting to improve quality over a number of years. The issue about it is what is quality? And how do we benchmark it? How do we compare entities, whether they're hospitals or physicians' offices or insurance companies or whatever provider or payer in the system is? And so when you look at what exists and focusing on mostly hospitals, you see that first there's a number of different payment systems and performance systems and reporting systems that exist. And each one of those may use different indicators, and they may use different ways of benchmarking those indicators and stating which hospitals are considered to have good quality or good safety versus poor quality or poor safety. Oftentimes, there's an arbitrarily assigned benchmark. It might be, for example, we focus a lot on Hospital Compare, which is the online reporting system for the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. CMS requires that hospitals report certain quality and safety measures, and it could be in any of the three domains of quality. It can be its structural, process, and outcomes. And they post these online, and the online site, you can go to that site, and then you can pick hospitals in your area or wherever, and you can compare them. And unfortunately, the comparisons are based on whether hospitals are above or below an average, the national average. So from all the hospitals in the U.S., CMS picks the average value for that performance indicator, and then what you see on in the reporting system online is whether the hospitals are above or below that indicator, which is not very specific about what that hospital's quality is on that. They could be barely above and be ranked above average, or barely below and ranked below average. They could be on the very bottom and still only be below average. So you really don't know where hospitals stand on these things. So our aims were to look at the gap in quality for each hospital and the distribution of this gap. So since, and I'm going to get into it a little bit more, stochastic frontier, there's a couple ways you can do it, but one of the ways to do stochastic frontier analysis is to look at the gap for each hospital. What is each hospital's best possible performance and what is that hospital's actual performance? So since it's on a hospital by hospital basis, the only way to really compare hospitals then is to look at the distribution of gaps. So we want to define the gap for each hospital and then assign that gap the distribution, look at the distribution of the gaps between the best practice estimates and the actual patient outcomes. And so we just focused on the outcome measures that CMS is having hospitals report. We used a large national sample of U.S. hospitals. It wasn't the entire nation of U.S. hospitals, but it was a large sample, and it varied based on which outcome measure we used because not all hospitals report on all outcome measures. And we wanted to derive from this analysis some best practice targets. We decided that based on the distribution, we could find what is the top percent of hospitals and make that the best practice target. Keep, hold your question. Unless, what?
Oh, sorry.
Are we waiting for questions to the end?
Sorry.
I just want to make sure that I'm clear.
Kills me. Can we?
Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. Okay. Well, I'm getting to that. Okay. So once we have the distribution, we will then see what hospitals are in the top 5 or 10% of the the lowest gaps. Since we're looking at negative patient outcomes, we want to minimize the gap. Well, you want to minimize the gap anyway, but it's going to be the lowest gaps. So we're looking at the hospitals, the 5% and 10% of hospitals with the lowest gaps, and that's going to be our best practice target. So once each hospital gap is decided, we do the distribution, and then based on the distribution, we figure out what the best practice target is, and that target will be a percentage of gap. You'll see as we get to it. And we use the CMS, we use 7 of their hospital quality initiative outcomes. Our framework was taken from Bozzoli et al. In 2008, and we use that center square there, hospital production inputs and efficiency, to be our inputs into the stochastic frontier model. And you can see that those are like the direct inputs that go into patient outcomes. But there are other inputs that contribute to that that would be considered direct inputs into quality, patient outcomes. And those would include all your hospital characteristics, which when we see studies of quality and we see what predicts quality, we often see things like size, ownership status, et cetera, et cetera. Those would be hospital or organizational characteristics. We also would look at financial resources, which would be prior profit margins. Hospitals with higher profit margins have more financial resources to work with for the next year, et cetera. And market characteristics, how competitive is the market in the area, meaning how much do hospitals have to engage in competitive pricing, and does that competitive pricing affect their how much nurses they have and how many other employees they have in terms of what they're spending on labor resources, et cetera, et cetera. But for our basic stochastic frontier model, we want to look at three things related to production inputs and efficiency, and that's capital inputs, labor inputs, and technology inputs. And I think the next slide will mention that. Yeah. So the design then is to take this large convenience sample, to use stochastic frontier analysis, which I will show a model of in just a moment. And the inputs in the SFA were the capital, labor, and technology, and I'm going to show those measures in a bit too. And the outputs were the 7 CMS hospital compare indicators. And then the stochastic frontier analysis establishes the gap between the best and actual based on these inputs. It's estimating what would this hospital's best possible practice be. And the calculation of the distribution of the gap is just to take the percentage gap. And then based on that, we can get the best practice levels. So our measures for the outcomes measures were heart failure mortality per 1,000 patients. All of these are per 1,000. I should just put that at the top. Heart failure mortality. And also these are risk adjusted. These were taken directly off of the web when CMS frequently posts the actual raw data on the web, and we happened to hit a year in which they were posting not only the first 4, but they were also posting some of their patient safety composite indicators and their quality indicators also. Inpatient quality indicators. So heart failure mortality, heart failure readmission, pneumonia mortality and readmission. And these are part of their core measures right now. And then patient safety initiative, patient safety indicators. They have a number of these that are obtained by algorithm, that software that you can also get from the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality. And the software will indicate whether that patient had a patient safety event, such as could be urinary tract infection, it could be a fall, it could be pneumonia, it could be a death. They have death and low mortality, DRGs, et cetera. And their composite just compiles the selected indicators from these patient safety events. And the inpatient quality composite is likewise a composite of a number of mortality indicators for selected surgical procedures, and another composite does mortality for selected medical conditions. So these are not currently posted on the CMS website for raw data, but they were at one point. And all of them were risk adjusted, in the measure itself. So these were the inputs, which you could think of as the independent variables in a regression, and they were that we were trying to capture capital using available data. And chain membership was one of the variables we focused on, because hospitals that are part of a chain would have greater scope and scale to work with, and that would enable them to have greater resources. So we considered this to be part of a capital resource. And so membership in a chain or system was one. Net revenue was another. Net revenue is clearly a financial resource, a capital resource for hospitals. For labor, we used total personnel expenses per admissions, and all of these were adjusted for hospital size by either adjusting them by patient day or adjusting them by admissions. And the percent RNs is a labor indicator that would indicate how the level of skilled care in the hospital. So the higher the percentage of RNs per other nursing staff, which would include LPNs and nursing assistants, the higher the skill level in that hospital. So this is one area where we could have a little bit of a quality indicator for labor. And then the final variable that we had for the input was technology. And this was this is a count of 12 technologies in the hospitals, angioplasty, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it was just a raw count. So whatever number these hospitals had was put in as the technology indicator. So it went from 0 to 12. So the sample came from, we used all of these different data sets, Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. This was the direct outputs that we got online. The American Hospital Association for the chain membership and maybe one of the other inputs. Medicare cost reports for the net revenue and the area resource files. Area resource files probably fell into a secondary data analysis we did. I don't think they're in the inputs. But we had to match all of these data sets for the analysis. And the limiter, the variable with the greatest limitation was the output, the outcomes data. So based on which outcome we were looking at, we had either 1,823 to 2,784 hospitals in that separate analysis. And let's go on. So here's the stochastic frontier analysis. Looks very much like a regular regression, except that it splits the stochastic error term into an error and an estimated efficiency part. And the efficiency part is what is going to tell you what the gap is. The efficiency is U is the gap. So beta X is the deterministic part, and it is X is the variables that we have in there for the inputs, and beta is the vector of technology parameters to be estimated. V is the stochastic part, which would be the error term in a normal regression. And U is the non-negative technical efficiency or gap component. So the gap is non-negative, so that's why in this case, since we are, and you can use stochastic frontier analysis both to analyze the maximization of something or the minimization of something, and here we're analyzing the minimization of negative quality outcomes. So our analysis then, so the producer-specific frontier then is Y starred, which equals beta X plus V. So it's the deterministic part plus the stochastic frontier, or stochastic part is the best practice amount. It's the Y starred. When you add U to it is when you then add the gap. So when the stochastic frontier analysis models the minimization of something, Y starred is less than Y, and Y equals Y starred plus U. So then you add the U in. So that's pretty much a basic stochastic frontier analysis. So for our first aim, we used a truncated normal stochastic frontier analysis because we had heteroscedasticity in these hospitals, and we also did the bootstrapping for that, that allowed for that. We did validity checks to see how well the model was working, and then we calculated the percent quality gap per hospital, which is, I think, part of your question earlier, which is for each hospital, it was their actual Y minus their best practice estimated Y divided by their estimated Y, and that would tell us the percentage gap in that hospital, and that's from based on that is where we can get our distribution, and that's what we did next. So then for aim two, the best practice targets were derived by calculating the distribution of the best practice Ys from the results, and then we just, again, this is the arbitrary part of our analysis. We picked a percentage range to say this is the best practice. You can either we contrasted the 5% top 5% of hospitals or top 10% of hospitals to set the gap range. So just I'm going to go through these quick. How much time do I have left?
5 minutes.
Oh gosh, I knew it always takes me. I go through this the methodology the longest. These are just our actual. When you do a stochastic frontier analysis, you get also just a basic regression analysis of the relationship between your inputs and your outputs, which for us were the outcomes. And you can see that some system membership, and these are the first four outcomes, was not highly significantly related, and also a lot of these weren't consistent. We found in further work that we did, like net revenue, for example, this is very interesting. Heart failure mortality and heart failure readmission have strongly significant opposite effects. Pneumonia mortality and pneumonia readmission the same. What we found in other analyses is it carries through, and there's some relationship between how soon hospitals send patients home, I believe, and whether they're then readmitted, and whether there's a mortality in the hospital. So my theorizing is the longer the patients are in the hospital, the higher chance there is that they will die there. The ones that are sent home earlier don't die, but they have a readmission. So it plays out better in some further analysis we did. But total personnel expenses followed net revenue in terms of signs and significance. And the percent of RNs was not highly significant percent for some of them, and it carries on in the other four. Technology index was pretty significant. So this is the second or the last three indicators. And you can see similar things there. It's just kind of all over the place. This was our validity checks. And our goodness of fit was really, really poor. It's understandable because we were using inputs that, although they're direct inputs into quality, there's so much more that goes into quality. We're looking at redoing the model and adding some of those outer indirect predictors that we had in the conceptual framework, but in reality, that sort of we're gonna see what we get with that. But as far as our core inputs, there was not a lot that they produce in terms of quality. However, the other parts of the validity check were good. We looked at the confidence intervals between Y and Y starred, and we saw that there was no overlap between them, and that's important because we don't want the two to be exactly the same. At the same time, we didn't want them to be independent. So in a test of where HO was whether they're independent, it was highly significant for them to not be independent. So we're finding that they're dependent, they're related to each other, but they don't overlap each other, which is tells us that at least the mechanics of the model were working good. And that was the case on all of our outcomes. So here's finally some results. Distribution of the percentage of gap. Thanks. You can see that most hospitals, interestingly enough, on a lot of these, have very little gap between the estimated best practice and their actual outcome. With readmission rates, it's even higher. 68% have 0 to 10% of a gap. About 30%, 28% have 10 to 20% gap between best practice and actual. Pneumonia mortality, not quite as high, 35% have a 0 to 10% gap, et cetera. And I'm just going to flip through a lot of these. This is the patient safety indicator and the inpatient quality indicators, the distribution almost looks a bit more normal because here we see that the highest amount is at the 30 to 40% gap. Sorry, that's not better marked. Okay, this is almost a normally distributed percent gap, and the greatest grouping is between 20 and 30% gap at 37%, but very few have 0 to 10%. And then it goes up, and then it goes back down again. And if we look at those distributions, and then we turn it around and we say, okay, based on the top 5% of hospitals, what would be the best practice percentage gap? And it turns out for the first four indicators, it would be a 0 to 10% gap. Would be the best practice gap, or a zero gap, rather. Based on the top 10% of hospitals, the top 10% of hospitals had zero gap between their best practice and their actual. So that is that would be the target that we would look for, either 5% or top 5% or 10% of hospitals. So we would say that a target for quality on these indicators would be that you have no gap between your best practice and your actual. For the last three, there was a bit more of a gap. So the top 5% of hospitals had almost up to 10% gap, and the top 10% of hospitals had up to 15% gap on one of the inpatient quality indicators. So in these indicators, we would say that inpatient quality indicator one, which I think was the surgical indicators, you could have up to a 15% gap and still be best practicing well. Distribution of hospitals, 31 to 94% of them had greater than a 10% quality and safety gap. 10 to 15% had greater than a 50% quality and safety gap. So still good proportion of hospitals were still up there. And here's a summary of the best practice. 0 for heart failure and pneumonia mortality and readmission, 3% for patient safety composite, 15% for mortality due to surgical procedures, and 0 for mortality due to medical procedures. We think that this is a better method for ranking hospitals than the current CMS, above or below average. We still need to work on the model, the stochastic frontier model, and make sure that we're actually capturing, we have good inputs that are capturing that are allowing us to really decide with validity what the hospital's best practice should be. And that's pretty much sums it up. Future directions, we have a lot of different things we want to do with the model. We also are looking at the predictors of gaps in hospitals based on the model, and that's it. Thank you for letting me go over a bit, if I did.
Sure.
So are we going to have questions
after? Any questions?
Yep.
Sure.
Didn't answer it yet. Okay.
So the question I have, is, or had in the beginning, is that how are you defining best practice? Best practice, as I've come to learn, it is a guideline. And how well does an institution adhere to that process, that guideline? You're saying no. You're using best practice as an estimated optimal performance.
Yeah, we're not using. It's not based on guidelines.
So this
is
not
as not as it's defined. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So that was my real question in the beginning. That's why I wanted to make sure I understood.
Okay.
I didn't get that little barrier. That's what you're comparing.
You yeah. Yeah. It's not based on guidelines.
So you're saying that there are as many as 5% of U.S. hospitals that are running.
Based on their capital, labor, and technology. Now, those are inadequate. Now, if you think about it, that doesn't mean that their quality is at the highest level. It just means that they're running at the best that they're possibly capable of, given their basic inputs into quality.
So those 5% are probably going through any number of patient safety and quality improvement programs each and every day. So do you think that that's wasted money for those people?
No, no.
Well, if they're already running at 100% optimal state.
They're doing the best that they can do given their resources. That's what this is measuring. It's not measuring that they're... I like your comments because it's problematic for envisioning how you work in further quality improvement, but it's not saying that you don't need to do quality improvement and you don't need to get better. It's just saying that based on where they're at in terms of their resources, they're at a good level. And the quality of the data itself is a problem. These CMS measures are, I think there's probably lots of problems with the data itself.
Did you mark of the 12 technology indicators with your technology variable, the more technology that an organization has, the higher score?
Yes. The more just in account. So if they had, the more of each one of those that they had, the higher technology they had. Yeah, but we don't capture that type of quality in any measure. I mean, you're looking at overutilization of healthcare?
Which is an essential part of quality.
It is, but that's not captured in any CMS measure.
I think that might be a limitation.
Oh, yeah. But it's a limitation of both the inputs and the outputs because we don't have indicators of overutilization, do we? Do we capture that anywhere in any data? That's being collected by hospitals?
I just wonder if that's something that might be accounted for in the model.
I don't think that's too many.
Yeah.
I mean, it could, I suppose, lead to, if it led to any of the indicators, I would say we'd need to account for it. If it led to heart failure mortality or readmission or any of that, yeah. But unfortunately, we can't do everything in the model. What else? It's good. Good stuff. I especially like the stuff on best practice and how it's being defined in this. I think we're going to have to really be careful about saying this is in no way says these hospitals are the best and that they shouldn't keep working for more higher quality.
Yeah. I think that would be a very helpful thing.
Yeah.
Switch gears halfway through.
Yeah.
Oh, I think I'm going. Thank you.
Thank you.